Hey, Abby,
Hi.
what's your
Can you go ahead and read those out to me in full sentences?
So my name is Abby. I'm 24 years old. Today is the 12th of August, 2018, and I'm speaking with Alana, who is my partner in photography. We're recording this interview in Los Angeles, California, and it's a blistering hot day, but thankfully we're inside.
With fresh cold water.
With fresh cold water.
Thank you, world. And today we're going to talk about a few things that I think really affect more people than we imagine.
Oh, absolutely.
So, Abby, if you wouldn't mind describing your illness.
I have undifferentiated connective tissue disease, which is a form of lupus. It's sometimes called incomplete lupus, but it's really just a an autoimmune disease that affects my joints, and it lies somewhere in between Sjögren's syndrome, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus, but no one really knows where to put it, so they call it undifferentiated. Some people kind of take that to mean that it isn't a real diagnosis, like, oh, undifferentiated, you don't have anything.
It's kind of
It's
vague.
kind of vague, but it's purposefully vague. But I often just say that I have lupus and I wear a lupus awareness bracelet because there's so much relation and the journey is so similar and the treatment is the same that, for all intents and purposes, it's the same diagnosis.
When were you diagnosed?
Was diagnosed in the summer of 2016, right after I graduated college. I had been trying to get diagnosed for so long. The most recent time had been the winter of 2015 before I went back to school for my last term. I saw a rheumatologist who was just some old dude who didn't even touch me and just assumed that I had fibromyalgia because, a woman presenting person who doesn't know what they have but hurts fibromyalgia.
It's like they catch all.
Exactly. It's such a shame because it's definitely a real illness that deserves so much more than it gets. But I think that especially older male doctors just treat it like hysteria. So thankfully, in the summer when I got back from school, I went to see this young female physician, and she looked me right in the eye and she was like, "We're gonna get you diagnosed." I was like, "Yes, thank you." So we did a bunch of tests, and she finally came back with undifferentiated connective tissue disease. It kind of took a little prodding for me to get it out of her because I think that she wasn't quite sure that that was going to be the right way to go. Like, giving somebody a name to put to something is a lot of responsibility, but I don't think that I could have gone on with my life and with my treatment of my body if I didn't have a name.
It's like a sense of closure, kind of like knowing
Absolutely.
how to start to heal too.
Oh, it absolutely is. When I shared on Facebook that I had gotten diagnosed, people were like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And I was like, No, don't be sorry. Let's have a party." Like, I finally know what's been wrong with me all these years, and I finally feel like legitimized.
So what was your life like before your diagnosis, and what has changed? What has it been like since?
Before was so strange. I've been thinking about that a lot, that as a child I would not do so many things that other kids would do, but I wouldn't really have a reason, and it just felt like laziness because I was always a fat kid anyway, and so I think that's how people would see me. They'd be like, "Oh, that fat kid doesn't want to play at gym." And there would be such a dual think of I'm not doing this because I'm fat, and it hurts to do this because I'm fat, but also I'm still not going to do it because it hurts. And so it was a lot of other people's narratives being combined with my own. And it was also a thing of where I could never have a doctor's note because no doctor knew what I had, and rarely did doctors believe me because I was so young. And so it was just well, we don't want to hear her complain, so she can just sit over there. It was a very strange liminal space to live in. And then eventually, as I got older in high school and I got more serious about playing the clarinet, did it make its way from my knees, which is where it always was, into my hands. And I just like slept through so much of band the last year of high school because I wasn't going to be a clarinetist anymore, so it didn't matter.
Yeah.
And it was too painful to play anyway, and I knew my part well enough that I knew I could pull it off when it needed to be pulled off, but pushing my hands meant that I wasn't going to hold a pencil later, mm-hmm. or like I couldn't type. It would be such a strain, but again, I didn't have any like words for it. And we would do like an MRI of my knees, but nothing would come up. It's not a visual thing in the same way as some other things.
Yeah, it's more like connective tissue, so it's more like exactly. They don't have scans for that.
Exactly, yeah. It's so strange. But nobody ever thought to do a blood test. So it's impressive that it took so long. But I guess I shouldn't be surprised. The average time for people to get diagnosed with an autoimmune disease is like 5 to 8 years, and it took me 10. That I started showing symptoms when I was 12, and I got diagnosed at 22.
Wow. Yeah. That's the painful.
It's yeah. unfortunate, and it's so in combination with how people don't believe women about their pain, and women are the largest chunk of people, largest population of people who get autoimmune diseases.
Right.
And so it is this combination of autoimmune diseases that are understudied because it's something that women have, but no one will believe them, and so it takes forever for the diagnosis to occur.
Yeah, do you ever feel like women kind of live in a certain state of pain, that they get kind of used
absolutely.
To it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Like,
yeah.
I think there's a lot of conversation right now, I hear, at least in my circles and even on NPR, about the stress that a life of racism can cause Black women, and that's like really being seen when they give birth. Like, there's a lot of conversation about Serena Williams' experience giving birth, as like a even notable Black women can experience this. And I think that it's compounded for Black women because they have that racism, but I think that all women experience a lifetime of misogyny and stress because of that.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting how people perceive pain as well. So if it doesn't show up on a scan, or if it doesn't show up in like a blood work or something, people just assume that, you know, it's in your head or something like that.
Absolutely.
Like, I grew up with asthma, and so they say a lot of my triggers are kind of like the same.
Interesting.
It's like, she's just stressed out.
Yeah, that's like also the number one thing that I've been told not to do, is to get stressed by all my doctors. I'm like, oh, thank you for that sage advice. I will do nothing to get stressed in this extremely stressful world.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's nice that you have a diagnosis, and like, how's your life changed since your diagnosis?
I've definitely been more conscious about how I live every single day, that it's a calculation of like, okay, if I'm going to wake up and do so many hours of work, what do I have to do beforehand to make sure that I don't tire myself out too far,
mm-hmm.
So that I don't just like burn out halfway through my obligations.
Yeah.
And it's such a constant calculation that, like, a recent example would be, we had somebody new at my day job who is not very competent. And my boss gave me flack because I mentioned to him that I just, like, couldn't deal with her incompetence, and I just did everything myself.
Yeah.
But the energy that it would have taken to teach her and to stand over her shoulder was so much more than I had to expend, and it was just so much easier to just do it myself and leave. it's knowing my limits in a different way, and I'm still learning though. Last summer I flared up a lot because I didn't realize that I couldn't spend as much time out in the sun.
Yeah.
And so I just noticed after a day of being in the sun that like my knees were red, and then slowly it was like creeping its entire way up my thighs and it down my calves, and like my chest was splotchy and red, and then eventually I wasn't looking in the mirror this whole time, but eventually I realized that I couldn't close my jaw anymore.
Oh, wow.
I was like, oh, okay, everything is swollen.
Yeah.
And so I dug my cane out of my car where it lives, and that was my life for the next few days. Thankfully, my dad is a physician, so he grabbed some prednisone that he had lying around. And
as one does.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah, as one does. And so I kind of, headed it off, and I didn't have to go to the hospital or anything. But, in any other situation, I would have had to gone to the hospital to get steroids to make sure that this didn't last too long.
Yeah.
But it was a real trip. And sun is not my friend.
It's not anyone's friend. But
yeah. I feel like I feel like you may have had similar experiences as having asthma for, you know, a lifetime.
Yeah. Having a chronic disease is never easy, and eventually the management of it just becomes part of your life.
Exactly.
But sometimes it can be overwhelming because you have to stress yourself about not getting too stressed out.
Yeah.
Which is really weird, like back and forth, like how worried should I be about this, you know, so you're constantly questioning yourself.
Exactly. It's like a daily calculation that I feel like eventually just kind of fades into, this is it, this is my life.
This is how it is now. Yeah. So I guess that would be a good answer to the next question, which is, how has your illness changed you? Has it changed your outlook on life?
I don't think so necessarily. I think it's definitely made me more realistic about what I can and can't do.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's just by nature of having an answer.
And then, yeah. It's also like experience too.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, it's really helpful to know, like, what you're supposed to do, what you can and cannot do. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's what, like, your 20s are mostly about.
Yeah.
It's, like, all that optimism about, oh, I can just hang out outside, you know, for 12 hours. No suntan lotion. I'm good. No sunblock. And yeah. Now it's just, like, no, we just learn. Just hang out inside. Have some wine.
Exactly. Yeah. Friends would ask me, you know, at summer camp, like, oh, are you going to come out on the boat with us? No, I've got my glass of wine. I'm going to go sit in the air-conditioned craft house.
Yeah.
And even the walk there was enough for me for the day.
Same. I feel like very similar in that. And I don't like spending too much time outside in the sun.
Because mm-hmm.
it's just like, I get tan too. I'm actually tan now from Miami, but
it's good.
It's like, and then I'm peeling. It's like, it's the worst.
Sun is not a good friend to most people.
No one's friend.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think those are all the questions.
Excellent.
That I have. That's 12 minutes.
Solid.
Should we
smash that done button? Nice.
Cool. Are you sure we're finished?
It's weird to not have an